if you're watching, and also those who may not be able to be here today, God, and we pray that you would be with Pastor and Tina as they are away, Jesus. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You guys can stand up if you want, or you can sit down. It's okay. Whatever works for you. Yes. Yeah.
By your power, every giant falls. By your name, there are miracles. Your love is greater than the fears that we hold dear. By your wonder, you have opened wide. Gates of heaven and the earth collide. You see me move, and there's nothing you can do. King of heaven, come and fill this place with your presence. Let our hearts awake, we are desperate for your kingdom come. Bring revival, let the darkness flow. The God of empty graves, speak a word that calms the wind and wave. We're gonna see the dry bones come alive. We're gonna see a place where fire falls. Holy Spirit tearing down these walls by the power of the resurrected Christ.
For the offering this morning. So let's do that. Lord, we thank you so much for all of your blessings. Lord God, no matter where we are with you, Lord God, you have blessed us incredibly, and we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that as we give back to you, as we give to build your kingdom, that you would use it just for that, Lord. Use it for your glory and for your name. In your name, amen. So as we sing this next song, you feel free to come forward and give in the offering plates, or you can always give online at glendiveag.org.
In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. We believe in this broken generation. When all is dark, you help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe. So let our faith be more than anthems, greater than the songs we sing. In our weakness and temptations, we believe, we believe, we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life, we believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. Let the lost be found and the dead be raised in the here and now. In love in them, let the church live loud. Our God will save. We believe, and the gates of hell will not prevail, for the power of God has torn the veil. Now we know Your love will never fail. We believe, we believe. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, that He's coming back again. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and He's coming back again. We believe He's coming back again. He's coming back again. We believe. We believe. Thank you. Abba Dei is a sign that you are with me. The fire by night is the guiding light to my feet. You found me, you freed me, held back the waters for my release. Oh, Yahweh, you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You took me by the hand, you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. And now I will not forget you, God, I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the glory of your love. As you stepped into my Egypt, you took me by the hand, you marched me out in freedom into the promised land. And now I will not forget you, God, I'll sing of all you've done. Death is swallowed up forever by the fury of your love. You're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Cause you're the God who fights for me, Lord of every victory. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You have torn apart the sea, you have led me through the deep. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, as I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. Fear and all anxiety,
Step of the way, and everything that we go through, God, we just praise your holy name. We just praise your name. Just take a moment and just praise him right now, if you would.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus.
With your voice, just praise him.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name.
Praise
you, God. We thank you, Lord, for what you can do. Praise your name. If you have a need, just raise your hand towards heaven and let's pray for that today. Lord Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the God that understands, Lord. You are the Lord that meets needs, we pray. Lord, I just pray that you see these hands that are raised throughout this sanctuary, the hands that are raised online right now, God. I pray that you will minister to them. You know the needs. I pray that you would touch them, Lord, and give them comfort. We pray for that, God. Give them answers to questions they may have, Lord. And just let them know that you're with them every step of the way and what they go through, God. We pray for that, Jesus. We pray for that. And Lord, I want to pray for this community here, God, that you will just minister, that you'd pour out your spirit upon everybody here, that, Lord, that they will just have a knowledge of you, God, and you would work with them, Jesus, and they would commit their lives to you, God. We pray for that, Lord. And Lord, I just ask now that you'd be here with us the rest of this service. We listen to your spirit in what we do, God. Let our hearts be open to what you would have for us today, God. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, thank you guys for being here this morning. What a wonderful time of worship we had in ministry. I am just looking forward to seeing what the Lord has for us today and for the upcoming week and what we do. Just a few announcements here is, again, there's some ladies' coffee hosts that are needed for 2023, and all this stuff is in your bulletin here. So if one of you ladies there, they meet monthly, and they need hosts. So there is a, for the, this 2023, there's a sign-up sheet in the foyer there, if you'd like to sign up for that. And also, there's a board meeting that has been switched from this Tuesday to Thursday, June 19th at 6:30. So if you're on the board there, just make note of that. What's that? Okay, January. You know, I it's not, yeah, you're right. Thank you, MJ. Not June. We need to be ready for January here because that is, I'm going to have to get that, you know, maybe the eye doctor here needs to look at a few things with these particular glasses that I've got going on here. So it should be interesting as I read through my notes today, right? But anyway, January 19th at 6:30, you know, at 6:30, if you're on the board, please make note of that. They are going to have the youth Speed the Light baking this Saturday, January 21st, 2 to 4 p.m. So if you're in the youth and you're going to come there to help with baking, making some baked goods, and maybe if you can ask Levi if you'd like to help with that. That would be wonderful. And that, and then the next Sunday, we get to enjoy those at the church here. We get to buy some of those as a church congregation, some of those particular baked goods to raise funds for Speed the Light, which is money that goes to our missionaries around the world for that. And so, make note that on the week of the 23rd through the 25th of January, that there's the Pastors Connection Conference is in Butte. Pastor Kevin, Tina, and myself, and Beth will be attending that in there, so it should be a refreshing time there. We have an Outcast Youth Dinner and Movie Night, 6:30 p.m. on January 27th. Levi and Jen will be hosting there at their home there at 305 Juniper in Forest Park there. So grades 7 to 12, you are welcome to be there. We have the annual business meeting coming up, and on January 29th, it'll be immediately following the service that morning, and we have the business meeting there, and then right after that, we're gonna have a pop bless right immediately after the service. Go downstairs and enjoy that, and as soon as the pop bless is over, the members, if you'd come up here, and we're gonna have our church business meeting, And everybody is welcome, you know, to attend for that. So, at this time, I would like to go ahead and dismiss the kids with Miss Elise there. So, children, if you'd like to head on downstairs there and enjoy that particular time, that will be fun for you guys. So, all right. Well, again, I just want to say thank you and pray for, Pastor Kevin and Tina as they are away supporting some of our extended church family at this particular time. Pastor asked me to go ahead and speak this morning, and he mentioned and said, hey, that you can go ahead and kind of extend a little bit if you want to on what you did it, what you were going to do at the church, you know, at dinner church, because I do that on Wednesday nights often. So if you were at the dinner church, you might hear a little bit of some of this morning, but this is going to be quite a bit more than that, because in that regard. But Lord put it on my heart here to share it with you guys. And I titled this message, We Are Not Alone in This. I'm going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit was with us all every step of the way and everything that we go through and what he does, how he ministers to us, and realizing that we're not alone. And so, like yesterday, I began to finalize a few things on the computer, and Beth was away at the ladies' gathering over at Amanda's house, and we and so I had Zaylee, and so for those of you who don't know, she was my she is my 4-year-old granddaughter, and she's into everything, and she has a lot of attention. And so I'm sitting there working on that, you know, on the computer and everything. Of course, she wants my time at the same time. So I'm working on that, and she pulls out her little Barbie dolls and a whole bunch of accessories, and she wants me to puzzle right next to the computer with me, and she wants to work on dressing Barbies. And so I'm taking these Barbies here, and I'm sitting there, I'm tying them and everything. And it's pretty bad when you got to put your reading glasses on so that you can do, you know, get everything there. And with all the little motor skills as you get older, how they're just not working quite as well anymore, trying to do all these different things. And me, you know, if you know, I had 3 boys growing up, so I didn't do have a lot of work with Barbies. And I had 2 sisters growing up, but unfortunately, my sister's Barbies were oftentimes victims of my play, you know. So I, you know, when it came to dressing and all that, but then, and then she wanted me, she has big old long hair, you know, long hair. She decided that Grandpa was going to help her brush her hair and style her hair. And I'm like, okay. And she gets me this brush, and I'm sitting there, and I'm just doing this thing, and just moving it, and just coming down, and trying to say, I don't want to snag her or hurt her or anything, you know, and she's fine, she's going, it's good, Grandpa, good. And then she wants me to try to put this scrunchie in her hair, and I'm going, scrunchie, are you sure you want me doing that? And I'm sitting there, I'm trying to do this and this and on her hair, and I'm trying to put it in, and it's a mess, you know. And I looked at it at the end, and it's just going, and she looks in the mirror, and she goes, that's awful, Grandpa. And I go, yeah, yeah, we're going to have to wait till your grandma gets home, and she'll fix it. So, but you know what? A lot of that stuff is I enjoyed that time, even while I'm trying, you know, trying to finalize my message and just do different things. I am typing, you know, I'm doing all that stuff. I'm spending time with her, and a lot of times, and I began to realize a lot, you know, this is like, she enjoyed her time with me. And I enjoyed my time with her while we were doing that. It was fun. And all these things, and again, I was a complete mess in and out of my element doing this stuff. And I just kind of realized that the message and stuff that I was working on, and I started talking about how the Holy Spirit is with us the entire time and what he does. He enjoys spending time with us. And I enjoy, or we enjoy, or should, when we're walking in his steps, spending time with him this entire time as we go through all these different things in that. 2 weeks ago, you know, again, it was with Azalea, and I was bringing her back from Hardin. We were driving on our way home, and I come up this big old hill on this secondary road driving along, and all of a sudden I'm looking in the future, you know, looking in the distance, and I see this, just the road is no longer looks like pavement. It looks completely black, and I'm trying to figure out what in the world is going on. You know, and I'm, you know, you're going 70 miles an hour and just driving like crazy. I mean, not crazy, but you're doing the speed limit and you're just seeing things, and you're like going, okay, what in the world? And I see at the top of this hill here, right in the middle of the road, was a vehicle with somebody standing on the outside of it with the hazard lights going. So, okay, you know, normally you slow down to that, see what's, you know, obviously there was something coming up. So I get up there, and I realize when I get to this guy that all of a sudden I see what the problem is, what all this black is that there is like probably about 100 head of cattle all in the middle of the road, and they're making these, and they're driving these cattle, what it is. And they slow me down, and he kind of, you know, waves me on to kind of go on through it. So I'm coming through there, and I'm working through this whole cattle, this cattle herd, and I'm just, my best guess was 100. I don't know, you know, what that is. And I'm sitting there, I'm going slow, and I keep going, and I'm going slow, you know, right behind it. I look down at the speedometer, and it's going like 3 miles an hour, you know, behind me, all these cows. There's like four, you know, I think there was about 6 Wranglers out there on horseback, and of course, Zaylee loves horses, and she keeps talking about them, having a good old time. There's 2 dogs helping them, moving them along, and we're just going like this, and they keep kind of waving me right through the middle of them. And pretty soon, I'm in the middle of this herd and everything, and suddenly Zaylee's had enough of it, and she goes, "Come on, Grandpa, go faster." I can't go faster. I can't go faster on this, you know, and I'm watching this stuff, and it was an interesting thing. And eventually they moved us, they moved the cows over enough and this thing, and we were able to get right on by. But the one thing that the Wranglers wanted me to do was just to keep going, you know, just to keep working my way through it, which was fine, you know, and all that. And as I was sitting there thinking about the herding, you know, how do we get herded, you know, and these cows are depending on this drive, on what the direction that to go, and the dogs and the Wranglers and all doing this, and it's looking good and everything. And I started thinking about how the Holy Spirit, how he guides us in what he does and how he leads us through this, that he's always concerned about this. And in the Bible, it's often referred to as that, you know, Jesus is the good shepherd. You know, and he guides us with his Holy Spirit. And he guides us as the good shepherd. And, you know, and he talks to us, we're often referred to as sheep. And sheep aren't very, very smart animals in how they are. They're just kind of a little crazy, kind of stupid here and there. But they go. But then suddenly I started thinking about one thing. Not only sheep, but sometimes aren't we, when we're trying to be guided by the Holy Spirit, can't we be kind of like the, you know, we've all heard the term of herding cats, right? And how, and if you try to get cats to do whatever you want, they're on their own plan. They got their own plan going, don't they? You try to get them doing different things here and go here and do that and all that stuff. But sometimes cats are a little obstinate in what they do. I mean, and we can be obstinate, can't we? Sometimes we want to do our own thing. We don't necessarily always want to follow what the Holy Spirit wants us to do or what Jesus wants us to do. Sometimes we can just go out there and completely do something, you know, completely rebellious or whatever in different things. And sometimes it can be like herding cats. Janet? Over the place and completely guiding. I mean, isn't it? That's kind of like a mess the way it can be, isn't it? You know, just different things. They want to do what they want to do, and sometimes it takes a real expert to be able to herd cats, right?
Father, he's the first cat herder in our family.
Herding cats. Don't let anybody tell you it's easy.
Anybody can herd cattle. Holding together 10,000 half-wild short hairs, well, that's another thing altogether.
Being a cat herder is probably about the toughest thing I think I've ever done.
I got this one this morning, right here. And if you look at his face, it's just ripped to shreds, you know?
You see the movies, you hear the stories. I'm living a dream. Not everyone can do what we do.
I wouldn't do nothing else.
It ain't an easy job, but when you bring a herd into town and you ain't lost a one of them, ain't a feeling like it in the world.
EDS. Right, well, now that we've had some fun here, that's an old Ross Perot commercial of Ross Perot Company, so from a while back there. But anyway, herding cats and everything. Sometimes, you ever wonder how the Holy Spirit just kind of looks down at us and wonders, he's got to experience that, kind of got going, you know, all over the place, you know, and in following. So I am going to start reading from John verses 16 through 21. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, because I live, you also will live. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So oftentimes here, as we go through this journey in life, we are all over the place sometimes. And it's so thankful. I'm so thankful that God is there to help us in this. When you look, I'm going to delve into a little bit of some Greek words here. One specific Greek word, anyway, and that's the term he uses for helper there, and that is paraclete. Okay, it's the Greek that translates to the English, and there's several different translations for it. And one of those, but I just read in this particular version, is helper. Advocate, intercessor, comforter, and teacher. There's really no true word that really explains the entire importance of that particular word and how it comes. So let's look at that for a minute in all those different words there. And these are like some really good attempts at translating the Greek paraclete to English. But a lot of those attempts, they're all narrow if you just take them each and of themselves by that. And so let's break down the prefix for a moment, para, because that's in paraclete. You know, a lot of our words in English, they come out of Greek, and which comes out of Latin, and then it's the Greek that we finally end up with, and we start looking at the prefix para. And para is... It's versatile. It has several meaning beside, or it's closely related something, closely resembling it, or come alongside. Para, just remember that. Now, the commonality is that the word beginning with para pertains to the relationships or resemblance of something to something else. You lose the words in some of the familiar words that we would know in English is like paramedic, paraeducator, paralegal, parallel, like parallel lines, paramilitary, all these different things that you see, you know, like paramedic. What you know, when you have a paramedic comes to you in an ambulance. A couple weeks ago, I needed one of those. If you all know, this right up here, okay, guys. And this thing is like really rough on this here, and stuff. But anyway, I would say, there's, you know, you got to be thankful that there are those individuals that come alongside doctors, be able to do a medical thing before you could actually get to a doctor. You know, you have paraeducators, like in the schools, where they, you know, some of the teachers are very thankful to have paraeducators that be able to expand what they're doing to teach the kids so that they can come alongside them, that they can be alongside them and do, you know, what those things, to be able to meet the needs of our students in that. In, you talk about, you know, paralegal in the court, you know, those attorneys, there's all kinds of paperwork that needs to be done. And they handle a lot of that in that stuff. So this word, paraclete, it occurs five times in the New Testament. All are in the writings of John. The four instances are in the gospel. The one in the first epistle, in the gospel, in 1 John 2:1, paraclete is simply Greek, as a Greek word that's transferred into English. So let's look at the four times that are in the gospel, okay? In the gospel of John. All those, in those regards, they are, depending on what version you read, it could be either advocate, it could be helper, it could be intercessor, it could be comforter. That's the way it word, the way it, way it, way it's read. In our scripture that we said here in verse 16, it says, "And I will ask the Father, he will give you another helper." And that's from the ESV right there, okay? That's from the ESV. In that word, its use is helper in that. And so, depending on what version you have, in the King James, it's comforter. You know, all these different things. And some that you have as the as an advocate in that regards. The fifth time, in the First John, here is up here, and you can read, is, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." In that regard, in the Gospel of John, in the first thing, that refers to the Holy Spirit, you know, paraclete. In this one here, that it's referring to Jesus Christ, the Son, in that. So he is an advocate right now that is before God, before Father God right now on our behalf, as he is pleading the case to the Father that we come to him, and why we should be in the family, in that, and have eternal life in that regard. But I just want, so anyone who's ever been in a tight legal spot, it's nice to have that advocate, isn't it? Somebody who can come in there and to represent them. And so John uses the Greek word paraclete here to call Jesus our lawyer. In the ancient world, a paraclete was an advocate who pleaded a defendant's cause before a judge. So in that regard, so in the gospel account, like I just mentioned, that John uses this word often to describe the Holy Spirit. To describe Jesus as counsel for our defense, our legal representative, our advocate for God the Father, judge of all humankind. So understand that because each of us has broken God's holy law, we stand guilty and condemned. But God loved us so much that he provided an advocate for us Jesus, our advocate, is not swayed by personal interests. He is righteous and blameless, and he has made us right with the judge of the universe. Because of what our righteous advocate has accomplished for us, through his death, resurrection, and ascension, we are now credited with his righteousness before God. Jesus will ceaselessly continue to advocate for us. Isn't that an awesome? You stop and you think about that. He's right there right now. Everything that, you know, we've done and how nasty we've been to other people or different things or even to him, Jesus is right there before us. We ask his forgiveness. And suddenly, we're in his family, and he is before God the Father right now, just pleading our case as to why we should do that. It's awesome when we stop and we think about that. So when you stumble today, take comfort in that in your advocate, the Lord Jesus, in his mercy fails. His mercy that never fails. We move on, and then into there is another place in Job, chapter 16:2, that the word paraclete is used. It's actually used in the and for those who conjugate verbs and nouns and those things and do some grammar, it's in the active form, which is a little bit different than what's in John, which is in the passive form, but. In Job 16:2, just keep that in mind for a moment, but the word paraclete is used. It says, then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters you are all. And all that he was going through in different things. And that's the word paraclete, comforters. And I mentioned through, and what's kind of interesting, one reason why I bring this up here, in that particular word paraclete that was used, is to understand is that in John there, the word paraclete had all those several different interpretations in that regard. And every English translation that I've looked at, King James, NASB, ESV, NIV, through the whole thing, it 100% says uses the word comforters. Translated, which is an interesting little thing there, but comfort. So you ever wonder about, you know, and I won't delve too much into the story of Job there, but you understand that he had such negative and such nasty advice all the time, you know, where he became very depressed, and finally he's like, you know, I have heard many such things, miserable comforters you are all. So have you ever realized and stop and thinking about bad advice? When you get bad advice, you're trying to think, what in the world are you telling me this for? Or sometimes you kind of follow it, or you realize later that it was bad advice on what you got, and you say, and I have a couple of examples of bad advice here. It's about somebody who said, when I started learning how to drive, my dad, completely serious, said to me, always weave a little, and all the other cars will stay away from you. Okay. Maybe except one type of car, you know, might give you a problem. Said, then another one is, my husband grew hot peppers in our garden 1 year. Wanting to dry them out, we asked our Amish friend what to do. She suggested we use the microwave to quicken the process. So we took her suggestion and nuked the peppers. Within seconds, sickening fumes filled the kitchen, driving us out of the house, coughing and gagging. Only later did we stop to wonder why we took the advice of to use a microwave from someone who doesn't use electric appliances. So when you start looking at all these different kinds of things out there, you're going, we just can't get terrible advice from a lot of different people in how we live and different things. But so I'm glad the advice that we can get from our Lord, our Holy Spirit, who's with us all the time, keeps us on the path of the straight and narrow to be able to be with him in what he does. So getting back to our passage in John, it is important to realize that Jesus' time, when this was written, is in the storyline here. His time with the disciples was short, and he wanted to teach them as much as possible. Under the cover of darkness, they walked. Jesus would bring his disciples on that final night together to the garden. There in Gethsemane, he would pray and wait Jesus' betrayal. On their way, teaching spilled out of his heart and mouth. He would go to prepare a place for them. He would come back for them. He taught them to abide in him and to love each other. He readied them for the hatred and the rejection of the world that they would experience. He also promised them the Holy Spirit. He knew he'd ascend back to the Father, and once reunited in glory, he would appeal to the Father to send the Spirit, and Jesus called him the Helper. The Spirit would come to live in them. The Spirit of God, Jesus said, would begin to reside in with his people. The temple had the Holy of Holies, and God dwelt there. But now God's people would become individual temples of the Holy Spirit. And what they do, that's a concept now. Stop and think about that, how that is. Realizing that when you serve Jesus, the Holy Spirit, you are a temple of God. And everything that you do, how he is in you, and he works through you. That's amazing. That's just quite the ride, isn't it? You know, and you stop and you think about it. So do you need help in your life? The Holy Spirit, it lives in all gospel-believing Jesus people. And Jesus called him the Helper in many translations. The word paraclete, and as mentioned before, is a Swiss Army knife of a word, and it is translated in a few different ways. So we're just going to take a look at some of those different shades of those particular subjects here. As an advocate, the Holy Spirit is on your side. The most clearly obvious one that you can think of is a lawyer, an attorney. I know that kind of working over at the courthouse and knowing this is that when there's an offense that takes place and you end up having to go before, you need the need to go before a judge, you work with an attorney, you speak with the attorney, you talk to the attorney, and you go through all that stuff, and then it's the attorney that actually speaks to the judge and presents and pleads your case before the judge. You don't get to go walking right in there and say, you know, on the day and decide you're going to do it. Unless you're going to represent yourself, but we're not going to talk about that right at the moment. We're just going to say, at the moment, the attorney is the one who presents your case to the judge. He talks directly to him. And given earlier, as we read, in what Jesus did by dying on the cross, Jesus is the one that's representing us. See, we are condemned, guilty of sin and death, and we cannot come into the Father's presence as we stand right there. It's through the advocate, through Jesus Christ and his death that was on the cross that we can do that. We can come boldly to the throne now because we have this representative. He's our advocate that is allowing us to do that we can do that. That is exciting. It's something to be refreshed in and renewed. Each time when we start getting down, we can stop and think about that. That we have the Son of God pleading our case before him, before the Father, right now, that we can do that. And I look forward to that day in the future. Someday in the future, however soon or however long it is, when we can be in the presence and the fellowship with God the Father. It's a result of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross that we can do that, and by us having the advocate, that advocate, that we can do that. Now, it's awesome. Feel excited about that and refreshed. So, remember the Greek word is paraclete. And it literally means someone who comes alongside us. It suggests that we're struggling and he comes to be with us in our struggles and he helps us. He comes to counsel and comfort us. In the Bible, the devil is called the accuser. He accuses us day and night and in God's presence of all our sins. But the Holy Spirit is called the advocate. Though we're nothing but sinners, if we put our trust in Jesus, he defends us. He testifies with our spirit that we are God's children of who we are. And he helps us in our weaknesses and what we go through. So often we do not know what we are ought to pray for, do we not? And the Spirit himself, he intercedes for us with wordless groans. It's oftentimes I found myself wanting to know, what am I supposed to pray for in this certain circumstance? I have no idea sometimes, but I know that there's a need. The Holy Spirit helps us and we can pray, and he knows how we should pray. Just start praying. Just start praying. He's our advocate in that regard. He is better than any high-powered, expensive attorney. Some people think the Bible study is a waste of time and not very practical. But actually, as we learn to have and obey Jesus' commands through personal Bible study, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives to do the most amazing, life-changing things and gives us the most practical help in our daily struggles. It's amazing that he comes to us free of charge to be our true advocate. I'll stop here for just a second and stop and think, going back to what I was talking about with my time that I had spent with Zalia yesterday and doing all those different things. When we take time, when we spend time reading in God's word and doing those things, praying, fellowshipping with other believers, and talking about all these different things, we are spending time. We are growing with him in that time. He cherishes that time with us, and we cherish that time with him. And that's what I would encourage you to do in that regard. So the second thing is, the word that we want to look at is, as a comforter, the Holy Spirit, he gives you comfort. I mean, that's simple. I mean, as a comforter, he gives you comfort in that. The Spirit gives you comfort. And so oftentimes when I think about comforting others, I think of this example one time. We had one of our boys here, Nate, when he was born, he had some issue with down there with one of his kidneys and everything. It was something serious, and we had no idea what was going on. And we didn't, he was just lethargic, was like 30 days old, and we had no idea. And we took him to the emergency room, and we're trying to figure out what it is. And come to find out, they found the infection that he had. It was all through he had staph all throughout his blood, and we didn't know what it was. And there was a whole bunch of tests that were done. And I remember there was this one procedure that had to be done to check it out. And the procedure that was done, Beth had to be in there with him and kind of hold him and comfort him while he was doing that, while he was going through that, because it certainly wasn't what they were doing. It certainly wasn't going to be me that was going to be in there with this situation. And Beth was just saying words of comfort the entire time. And while he was going through this process, it's going to be okay, it's going to be okay. All this and everything and the comfort of a mother, and you stop and you think about how mothers just have that innate ability to be able to comfort their kids, and much better than us dads, you know, in that regard. But man, I tell you what, you know, in that regard. And it was so much so that the technician that was doing it and goes, wow, you really comfort that kid. I realize that he's your, you know, I know that he's your third son and everything. And a lot of mothers don't spend as much time in comfort. It was a real compliment to Beth from the technician. But that was a, you know, but at that time, Nate needed that comfort, you know, in that regard. And he needed that. And so, but that's what the Holy Spirit, he does with us as a comforter. And what we go through, when we go through things, when we're sad, when we're hurt and we're depressed, or we just don't know what to do, he's with us. Life is a painful mess of challenges, limitations, and failures. And you're always put face to face with life's difficulties. The soil produces fruit, but only with the tears. They often agonize, but the Spirit lives within us to provide us with comfort. He works to bring scripture, friendships, and perspective into our minds at just the right time. He loves to engage with you and be the still, small voice of God's comfort during your moments of pain. And you ever stop and think about that for a minute with a small, soft voice? I can look around here, and I know that in speaking with a lot of you, and just through normal fellowship, you guys have talked to me about how the Lord has spoke to you, or I've shared with you how God has spoken to me, and that just in that small voice, he does. He, on our heart, he works with us, and he ministers to us. When we're walking with Christ, he will speak to us, and he comforts us that entire time. Another way that Jesus was conveying to his disciples is another view of comfort. So what is comfort? In the modern English, comfort means consolation. The idea would be that God comes to console us and bind us up our wounds after the battle. Well, you know, so while this is true enough, it is only one aspect of the meaning of the Greek term paraclete. Comfort is derived from the Latin cum forte, meaning with strength. With strength. So understand that the comforter not only comes to console us after the battle, but he consoles us and he gives us strength and the power to fortify us to face that battle in those regards, right in the midst of the battle. As another word is encourager. As the encourager, the Holy Spirit urges you through encouragement. The Spirit urges us through encouragement. People try to, you know, we all try to pump others up, don't we? And like, oh, you know, you got this. You can do it. Don't quit. But those encouragements only go so far. The Spirit, on the other hand, he lives within us. He lives within in his people. He reminds you of who you are. He tells you of love's God's grace. He urges you to the sacrificial and beautiful things in life in that regard. As a counselor, you know, as a counselor, the Holy Spirit gives you Christ counsel. He wants to counsel us. That can be another word in that translation. I look at the idea of when I go back and I start thinking about how playing with Zaylee and spending time with her and doing those things is she's learning things and I'm learning things from her. I know a whole lot more about how to brush hair and dress Barbies now, you know, than I did before. I had no clue, but now I do. And she, but during that time, I can use those times to also express, you know, to teach her why, you know, wisdom and just the little things throughout the day. And that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. Jesus is called Wonderful Counselor, and the Spirit delivers his counsel to our lives and hearts. Open yourself to his word. Sit and listen to a sermon, but with your heart open and be ready for the Spirit's advice. Then sit and watch the sunset. Hear his spirit counsel your soul. As you walk through the forest or you drive to the grocery store or you go through the grocery store. You don't want to drive through it. You go through the grocery store. Ask him to lead and advise you. Hear him say, don't believe that. Believe this instead. Remember those that good advice. You want good advice. Everything. So commit yourself. Psalm 37:5 says, commit yourself. I mean, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. Psalm 37:5. To know the will of God is the highest of all wisdom. Living in the center of God's will rules out all falseness of religion and puts the stamp of true sincerity upon our service to God. You can be miserable with much if you are out of his will, but you can have peace in your heart with just a little in that. If you are in the full will of God, you can be wretched and with wealth and fame out of his will when you're out of his will, but you have the joy of obscurity. If you are in the will of God, you can have agony and good health out of his will, but you can be happy in the midst of suffering if you are in God's will. You can be miserable and defeated in the midst of acclaim if you are out of his will, but you can be calm and at peace in the midst of persecution. So as long as you are in the will of God, the Bible reveals that God has a plan for every life, and that if we live in constant fellowship with him, he will direct and lead us. The last word I want to look at again is the one we started with, is helper. As a helper, the Holy Spirit, he simply helps you in that. In all, when you start and stop and you think, paraclete is not necessarily the best word in the, when we stop and think of paraclete, trying to translate it into English, so many narrow ways that helper is probably the most broad way to be able to translate the work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. He helps us through all these things. You know, Jesus called him another helper of the same kind and quality. In other words, the Spirit would help the disciples, and he helps you. In the same way, Jesus helped his disciples while he was walking on earth. He provided, he taught, he led, he worked miraculously, he emboldened them. The Spirit, unrestricted with spatial limitations like Christ was, would help them as they went throughout the world making disciples. And he will help you also. Too many people run around trying to help themselves, and they turn to the wrong places for comfort, encouragement, or counsel. Many people try to be good Christians by advocating for self, believing God is their adversary in the process. All the while, the Spirit, he lives within, and he's ready to help, aid us, as Christ did his disciples. He wants to shape you, and he wants to mold you, gift and counsel you. That's what he wants to do with you. He wants to open the mind of God as revealed in Scripture to you in that. I'm going to end with just this one last scripture here. So as we go through these different things, understanding that he's with us the entire way, it is Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. And just think about that, how he's with us through everything. We are not alone. He is with us every step of the way, and everything that we're going through. Please stand with me while we close in prayer, please. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for today, God. We pray that you will minister to us, Lord. We pray, God, that you will let us lean upon you, God, as when we go through all these items and these things and these difficulties, Lord, and what you, that we would just lean on you in comfort and advice. And we thank you, Lord, that you're standing before the Father right now, that you're our advocate. And Lord, I just pray that you will minister to everybody here. We pray for those, Lord, that may need you, God, right now, in their life, in their heart, and what they're going through, that need to be refreshed by what you would do. We pray for that blessing right now, God, that you will minister to them, Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray that you would be with each individual here as they go throughout this rest of this week. And may they be blessed, keep them safe, keep them healthy, and Lord, and let us listen to your word, your spirit, God. And let us touch somebody for you this week. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.